Moving right along in the halachas of the chasana, so a lot of eyebrows are going to be raised about this one, but now we're up to how exactly a person is supposed to write out an imitation. So what does that mean? What kind of halachas can we possibly come up with about writing an imitation? So really there are three major issues that we are going to discuss when it comes to writing out imitations. Issue number one is the following. In Shulchan Aruch Yeradeus, in Reish Pei Gimel Siv Dalet, the Mechaber writes as follows, B'shem the Tshuvas HaRambam in the Pe'er Hadar, that it's usur for a person to embroider psukim on his talis bag. That's what the Mechaber writes in Yeradeus. This is not up for Machlekes. This the Mechaber just paskins as a halacha psuka. A person may not embroider psukim onto his talis bag. Why? Says the Shach, what's the concern? That we're concerned that since a talis bag is only tashmishei mitzvah, it's not tashmishei kedusha, so therefore a person me'ikra din is allowed to go into, he's talking about the talis over there. The Mechaber's talking about writing, let's say a lot of times people have a pasuk on the talis where the atara would have been. So the Mechaber writes that's not allowed. So the Shach explains what's the problem. Says the Shach that since me'ikra din you're allowed to walk into a beis hakiseh with your talis on, me'ikra din is mutter. So therefore, says the Shach, we're concerned that you're going to be mevazeh hapsukim, you're going to be mevazeh hatara when you walk into the bathroom with the talis on, and therefore a person is not allowed to embroider psukim onto his talis. That's what he says. Therefore, says the Shach HaChiddush, according to this, if this would be the case, then there would be no iser to write a pasuk on the cover for a Sefer Torah. Why not? Because on a cover for a Sefer Torah, you're not allowed to enter into the Beis HaKiseh with such an item, because that is Tashmishei Kedusha, that's not just Tashmishei Mitzvah, it's a level above. So therefore, that would be mutter to write psukim, to embroider psukim onto the cover of the Sifrei Torah. That's what he says. It would come out according to what the Mechaber's psak is, that it's not right to write, let's say, on a esrog box very often. They write a whole pasuk out, that's not a correct minig, or to write on your talis bag is not a correct thing to do, because we're concerned that a person might walk into the Beis HaKiseh or into a Makom Bizayon with his esrog box or with his talis bag, and he's going to be mevazeh the pasuk by bringing it into a place where it doesn't belong. So that's what would come out according to that Mechaber. Therefore, Rav Moshe raises an issue that it's not right when people write nowadays on an imitation a pasuk, right? They're going to write Matzah Isha Matzah Tov. A lot of people write that. Or you write on an imitation Simen Tov Mazel Tov Ilan Alcha Yisrael Amen. People write it all the time. What do you do with imitations? I don't save the imitations. I throw them in the garbage. So what am I doing? In effect, I'm violating this din in the Mechaber that I'm being mevazeh the psukim when I'm going to end up throwing it out in the garbage. So that is the issue that Rav Moshe raises. And Rav Moshe has a beautiful tshuva in Chelek Beis Yeradeya. Says Rav Moshe's father, someone wrote him a letter that he heard that he wrote psukim on his imitation. He heard that Rav Moshe wrote a pasuk on his imitation. Says Rav Moshe to the person, Timihani ech shikru lukaser rosho lomar shani hitarti isra chamer kazeh. Are you crazy? Who lied to you and said that I allowed for such a thing to write a pasuk on an imitation? B'shemes hakdoshim psukei atara b'nuschei abrachos hashem ufursam lakal shani tzoi kekruchia gam al alucha shosholchem eze mostos lahar b'bnei adam. Says Rav Moshe, I'm the one who goes, I'm first and foremost to fight against the people who write psukim on invitations. I think it's a terrible thing. You're being machshel people all over the place. So Rav Moshe writes that he doesn't think it's correct at all. We have to be careful that no one should ever write psukim on invitations or on, sometimes in the mail, they'll send out a mailing for a person to give tzedakah. On the right, a whole pasuk on the bottom. So Rav Moshe says we have to be careful not to allow such a thing. In fact, he quotes a story here about a certain organization that already printed all the flyers and they had a pasuk on it, and Rav Moshe told them not to give it out, and they held it back. They lost money on it because they held back from all the money that they spent on the printing. So he says, "Ani ba'atzmin is harti she'afal azmanos lachasmanos banay uvnosai." Rav Moshe writes, "When I made the invitations for my children's wedding, lo kasapti shum pasuk af lo kol sason." Rav Moshe writes, "I didn't even write the pasuk of kol sason because simcha. I didn't write any psukim." So that's what the way he signs off, and he says, obviously, I'm the one who's the strong person who's fighting against those who write psukim on invitations. So Shlomo Zalman even writes in Halicha Shlomo, in Hilchas Tfila, that a person should even be careful, my father feels the same way, that a person should be very careful even if a pasuk is just written on Derech HaMalitza. Let's say they don't write a real pasuk out, sometimes they'll write a play on words, which is clearly a play on words from a pasuk. So Rav Shlomo Zalman writes that those people who do that, we should try to be nizar to put those in shamus as well. We should be careful not to write those either, because that also can lead a person to be mevazeh sapsukim, because we know exactly what you're referring to when you write such a thing. Rav Asher Weiss once wrote an interesting tshuva to Rabbi Rabinowitz from the Rav of the Old City, I think, Right, is that his name, Rabinovich? So he wrote a tshuva once that he asked him, right, we all go to the kotel and we put in letters into the whatever people write in them. People write notes and they put them into the kotel. So he wanted to know, are we allowed to throw them out? What do you think? They keep all the letters forever and ever? Of course not. They would fill out the whole plaza already. So the shiloh was raised, are they allowed to throw them out or do they have to put them in gneza? So that was the shiloh that they asked. So the tshuva that was written back was, you have to be careful because a lot of people do write psukim on these types of notes, and a lot of people do write certain types of tefillos and brachas and makashas. So therefore, as a chumra, a person should be careful to put those notes into gneza. If they ever fall out of the wall, you should pick them up and be careful with them. So that's issue number one when it comes to an invitation. May a person write or include a pasuk on the invitation? And clearly, Rav Moshe writes in the tshuva, and many others say the same thing, that a person should be careful not to do so. Now, issue number two is the following. The Rambam in that same tshuva in the Per Adar says the following thing. Min haroi, says the Rambam, min haroi lecha sheteda, a person should know. Ki haksiva hazos hanikras ksava shuris, says the Rambam, we all know what ksava shuris is. Kivin shenitna ba Torah, since the ksava shuris is the ksav that the Rebbeinu Shlom gave us the Torah in, ubayo nichtu luchas habris, says the Rambam, this is the print, this is the script that was used in the luchas as well. Says the Rambam, a person should not use Ksav HaShuris outside of the purposes of Kisvei HaKodesh. Now, we'll get to that in a minute. What exactly do we classify as Kisvei HaKodesh? Says the Rambam, Mimei Kedem. If you look into the archives of old artifacts that we find in all the museums and all the different places, says the Rambam, you'll never find anywhere that there was something, a Dabar Shachol, written in Ksav HaShuris. The Rambam says, if you look at the old coins, if you look at the old shopkeepers, on the list that they used to make, they never wrote in Ksav HaShuris, says the Rambam. Although they spoke in Hebrew, they made sure to write everything in some sort of script that was not Ksav HaShuris. Now the Ramah does quote this halacha in Simur Resh Pei Dalim Yaradeya. He quotes this Rambam that a person should not use Ksav HaShuris for any other purpose outside of Kisvei HaKadosh. Now, the question is, what type of Ksav do we have nowadays? So our block letters are very similar to that of Ksav HaShuris, other than the Tagim, right? A lot of the letters in the Sefer Torah, only seven letters actually have tagim. But since we hold that tagim are not ma'akvin, in Shulchan Aruch it says if you have a Sefer Torah where you don't have tagim, so the Sefer Torah is kasher. So since tagim are not ma'akvin, so therefore it comes out that our ksav nowadays, if you use block letters, might be very similar to the ksav ashuris of the Torah, which the Rambam and the Ramah quote, that a person should be careful not to use it for dvarim shalchol. So it would come out according to that. Rav Moshe talks about this in a tshuva as well. Person should be careful maybe not to write an invitation or something like that in regular block letters. A person should use either a script or a rashi. That's a very interesting chumra that comes out of this Ramah. The Ksav Sefer, however, writes in Uchuba Neven Ezer that there were people who complained when he sent out an invitation, how do you write in Ksav Ashur? So said the Ksav Sefer, I'm being made on my father, the Rashka Bahag, the Ksav Sefer, that when the Ksav Sefer made an invitation for his children's weddings, he wrote a Ksav Ashur because he felt that for a Dvar Mitzvah, it's mutter. So since you're inviting people to come be mishtatef in a sudas mitzvah, in a dvar mitzvah, so therefore, that would be permissible, said the Chassam Sofer. However, the Chassam Sofer himself ends off the tshuva. He says, mikam makam nachan lahachmir, person should be careful. Maybe, why not? If he's sending it to the printer anyway, in the same amount of money to print in block letters or to print in scripts, so why not print it in scripts and save yourself from this issue? In fact, the Beis Yosef and Eben Ezer has an interesting shita in the Rishonim that he quotes the Rimigash, that a person should not even write a get, which it's not, you can't say it's a dvar mitzvah, but you know the Torah told us to write a get when the circumstances call for it. It's not a dvar mitzvah that everyone should run to do, but the Beis Yosef quotes the Rimigash that a person should be careful not to write a get b'ksav HaShuris, because ksav HaShuris is something that's only limited for Kisvei HaKadosh and is not supposed to be used for any other purposes. The Beis Yosef himself says that the minhag already has been for many years that we use ksav HaShuris in a get. But he says that there are many Rishonim who believe that we should be careful not to use the Ksav HaShuris outside of Divrei Chol. Aruch HaShulchan L'maisa is Mekel nowadays, and he says the same way that we're Mekel to talk Lashon HaKadosh in a Beis HaKiseh, if let's say in Eretz Yisrael you have people who talk in a shower or in a Beis HaKiseh for whatever reason it might be, so since that we don't aser a person from talking Lashon HaKadosh in a Beis HaKiseh, so he says, Hu Adin L'Ksiva, says Aruch HaShulchan, it's the same thing. Obviously we're Mekel and we don't take this so seriously. I Lashon HaKadosh is what? The language of the Torah was written in, it's what the Luchas were written in. So it says, Aruch HaShulchan, in the same way, Ramatir, a person to speak Lashon HaKadosh in a makam that's not so Kaddish and not so befitting of it. So too, he's allowed to write as well. My father likes to point out the following interesting story, that there was someone, Reb Usher Ziv. Is that related to you? Somehow? So Reb Usher Ziv apparently reprinted the Tshuvas HaRamah. That's what he was very famous for. That he got a big award in Eretz Yisrael. Apparently, he made footnotes and he reprinted the whole thing. He made it very nice. So if you look in the Tshuvas HaRama himself, the Tshuvas HaRama writes that he believes that this chumrah of not using Savashuris, he even took it so far to say that a person shouldn't even print any Divrei Torah, any Svarim in Savashuris. Savashuris should be limited to Sifrei HaTanakh. Outside of that, a person shouldn't even use it. So the Rama therefore printed his original Sefer of his Tshuvas in Rashi script. So it's funny, my father likes to point out that Rav Asher Ziv, when he wrote the Hakdama to his new volume, so one of the things he prides himself about is, this is the first time in centuries that we're going to be able to read the Tshuvas HaRama, because now it's written in regular block letters, and now a person can read it. It's not the tiny little Rashi anymore that's very difficult to read. So my father likes to point out that it's connected to the Rama himself in the book, that the Rama says that you should be machmir not to write in Ksav HaShuris, because a person has to be careful to write anything outside of Kisvei HaKodesh, you should write in script. So that's issue number two when it comes to writing an invitation. Issue number three is the following. Very often we write on the top of a letter or on the top of an invitation, Beis Hei, right? Baruch Hashem, people write whatever they mean to say. So when they write Beis Hei, so let's discuss that for the last couple of minutes. In Rosh Hashanah, Daf Yud Ches Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us the following story, that there was a period in time in history that Gazer Malchus Yavan, that a person should not be Motzi Shem Shemayim Al Piyam. A person should never recite the name of HaKadosh Baruch. They wanted to forget Yiddishkeit, they wanted everyone to forget about it, so they didn't want us reciting the Shem Hashem at all. Kishagavar Malchus Chashmonai, says the Gemara, once the Chashmonaim took over and they came back into power, so Hiskinu Shiyem Azkirin Shem Shamayim Afil Vishtar. So the Chashmonaim came around and made a takana that everyone should recite the Shem Hashem, even in a shtar. In every single shtar that you write, a person should affix the Shem Hashem in the shtar. Says the Gemara, they took it so far and they said that at the top of a shtar, a person should write, B'shnas kach v'kach li'yochanan kohen gadol, this and this year to the kingship of this and this king, or this and this kohen gadol, whatever, l'kel elyon. At the top of every shtar, it would say, this and this year to the kohen gadol, l'kel elyon. So they would always write it in the top of every shtar. Then, says the Gemara, the Chachamim realized what's going to be the next time a person gets a shtar and then it's prepaid, so I'm going to throw out the shtar, right? I don't keep it forever. I don't want him to be able to find it one day and charge me again. So I'm going to throw out the shtar. So the Chacham were concerned. Now it has Shem Hashem and all these shtaros. So what's going to be? You're going to throw out the Shem Hashem in the garbage. So therefore the Gemara said they were mevatel this gzeira, and they decided no more writing Shem Hashem and shtaros. Not allowed to do that anymore. And from here on in, we should write a shtar without the Shem Hashem. Fine. And the Gemara even writes that they made a big yontif on the day when they were mevatel gzeira. Very nice. So that's the Gemara. So the Rugged Shavar has a tremendous chiddush in the Tzafnes Paneach, and the Chuvas Tzafnes Paneach. He writes that we have to be concerned when we write Beis Hei on the top of a letter. Why? So he says, because Beis Shammai Shita is in the Yerushalmi, that even Machak Oisachas Ben Hashem is considered Mechika. So he said, when you're writing the Hei, the Beis Hei, when you're writing the Hei, obviously you have in mind for Hashem Havaya. So he says, if you're going to go out and throw that out, so you're being Mechika Hashem. Tremendous chiddush of the Tzafnes Paneach. Very hard to swallow, and it's very difficult to understand. I saw this morning in the Yechavidas, which was happened to be left by my seat this morning by davening, so I looked in it, and he writes in there a whole tshuva about this. So he quotes in there from the uncle of Rabbi Yosef Kaira, from the uncle of the Shulchan Aruch, that he writes, in fact, that B'davka, a person should write Beis Hei on the top of the letter. Why? Because the psukim say, B'chal d'rachecha da'eu b'hu yashar achasecha, and everything I do, I should put the Rabbanu Shalom into it. So even if I'm writing a letter to my friend, even if I'm doing something which is Dvar Shalom Abakach, still I should involve the Rebbeinu Shalom and show that I take him seriously in everything that I do. So there are many tzadim lahakel why a person may not have to worry about this. Number one tzad lahakel is that it's very hard to believe that when a person writes Beis Hei on the top of a letter, he means to have in mind that this is one of the letters of the Shem Havaya. That's very hard to swallow. The Tzafnes Paneach Chiddush is very difficult to swallow, and the Achronim are not so keen about it. In fact, the Malam and the Hoyle writes another Chiddush. He says that he thinks that the ksav that we use nowadays is not 100% ksav ashuris, so therefore there is makom to be mekel with that reason. Also, Rav Moshe talks about this as well in Yeshua, and he says that he's not sure exactly what the isser is, he's not sure where the Tzafnes Paneach Chiddush came from. However, says Rav Moshe, if you're stam going to write a letter all full of Lashon Hara and Dvar Metelim and Rechilis and everything else, so it's not a kavod to the Rebbeinu Shlom to write Beis Hei on the top. Leave him out. It's fine. You know, you can write your letter without him. So Rav Moshe says that even if you're not writing such a letter, you're just writing a regular invitation or something like that. So Rav Moshe says that a person, why get involved in the machlekes? He says, write Beis HaMachdalet or Be'ezus Hashem. This way you're not getting involved in the whole discussion at all. If you write Beis HaMachdalet, so there's no indication that you're saying any letters from the Shem Havaya. So Rav Moshe suggests, why not write that and don't write Beis Hei at all. I was speaking with my father today about this, so he said that that Rav Soloveitchik once quoted in a shir, that his father, Rav Chaim, was makpid never to write Beis Hay on the top of a letter. That's what he said. So one of the boys in the shir asked Rav Soloveitchik, is the reason why he was machmir because he held like this toughness panas chiddush that he thought it was like a machak oisachas man hashem? Can that be the reason? So Rav Soloveitchik laughed. He said, no way, Rav Chaim never would have agreed to such a chiddush. It's too much of a chiddush. There's no way that's what he meant. So he said, no, so why was your father machmir not to write Beis Hay on the top of a letter? So Rav Soloveitchik thought the following. He said that the Gemara says in the end of Brachos that Eislasos Lashem Heferi Tarasecha. There was a point in history when they allowed people to be Shol B'Shem as Chavreim. They were allowed to ask each other, Shalom Aleichem. Aye, Shalom is the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So the Gemara says that to be Mar B'Shalom in the world, they allowed a person to say the Shem Hashem when he's greeting his friend, just when he's having a casual conversation. So it just so happens to be that the Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that the Rambam does not quote that halacha. The Rambam does not quote that a person is allowed to say Shalom Aleichem to his friend. Very strange. The Gemara says beferish that they made a takana that everyone should say Shalom Aleichem to his friend. He should use Shem Shamayim. So what's pshat? The Rambam doesn't count it, doesn't quote this. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that maybe Rav Chaim understood that the Rambam believed that was just a harasha, that in that time of the Gemara they wanted to be careful that people should be Marbe Shalom. There was some sort of issue going on, but it wasn't a din ladoris. It wasn't a heter that forevermore we have a heter to use the Shem Hashem when we're talking in conversation with each other. So he thought that maybe this would be a violation, according to the Rambam, maybe writing Beis Hay on the top of the letter would be a violation of that original din, which was only harasha. This wasn't a din ladoris that a person's always allowed to use Shem Hashem at his leisure. He's allowed to write it in all his personal conversations with other people, and he's allowed to use it on the top of his letters. So he thought maybe this is the reason why Reb Chaim stayed away from such a practice of writing Beis Hay on the top of the letter. One last issue with sending out an invitation is the following. We know the Gemara says in Pesachim, Taf Kuf Yud Gimel, that Shiva Menudim Heim LaShemayim. There are seven people that are considered like they're in Chayrem in HaKadosh Baruch Hu's books. So why are they put in Chayrem? So the Gemara says because they weren't involved in something that they should have been involved in. So one category that the Gemara gives is Misha Einu Meisiv B'Sudas Mitzvah, someone who chooses not to involve himself, not to join and participate in the Sudas Mitzvah. So says Tosfos, what are we talking about? What type of Sudas Mitzvah? So Tosfos says over there in Pesachim Kuf Yud Gimel that we're discussing like a bris. If a person's invited to a bris and he doesn't show up, so then he's Menudah LaShamayim. Or a person is invited to a Chasana, Tosfos says, and he doesn't show up, he's Menudah LaShamayim. So just so happens to be the Ramban Reish Samachay in Hilchos Bris Milah quotes that halacha, that therefore a person has to make sure to go to a Bris Milah, because otherwise it's going to be Menudah LaShamayim. Pesach Tshuva on the spot writes that that's why the minhag is that the gabbai in the shul should not make an announcement that there's a Bris today. We should just hang up a sign. By the way, we're being Modiyah, anyone who's around, but we don't want to specifically invite people because we don't want to put them into the predicament of being Menudah LaShamayim. So the question is, if Tosha said both these two things together, that a person who doesn't show up to a bris and a person who doesn't show up to a wedding are both Menudah LaShamayim, so why do we only find this chumrah by a bris that we don't invite? We should also not invite to a wedding. In fact, the Shaar HaMelech writes in his Sefer on Evna Ezer, the Chuppas Chasanim, that if you know a person's not going to show up to a wedding, you shouldn't invite him, because you're getting him into this trouble of being Menudah LaShamayim. But we clearly don't have this minhag, and it's not clear exactly why not. So I saw Rav Moshe as in a Tshuva and Chelek Beis that he makes some sort of chilek. I'm not sure I understand exactly what it is, but Rav Moshe makes some sort of chilek. Why by a bris we are makpin, and why by a wedding we don't have to worry about it. I showed it to my father today. He wasn't sure he understood it either. So we should just know that Rav Moshe has a heter. I saw also that Rav Moshe Shtermach has a tshuva in the Tshuvas Van Haggis, where he thinks of a different interesting reason, that he says the halacha is that the only time something is considered a sudas mitzvah is when you have, by a wedding, is when you have a Talmud Chacham getting married. That's clear from the Gemara in Yevamos. It's only when a Talmud Chacham is getting married. But he says, nowadays, Ein lanu din Talmud Chacham is manazeh, like we find in many other areas of halacha. So since Ein lanu din Talmud Chacham is manazeh, so therefore no weddings are a real sudas mitzvah, you have nothing to worry about, even if you don't show up, you're not Menudah LaShamayim. The problem is that it's very nice.
Why the bris? Why is the bris?
No, so a bris, we don't assume that way. A bris, we assume, is a sudas mitzvah because you're doing the mitzvah. You're doing the bris milah. By a chasana, the Gemara says that it's only considered a chashuv, a sudas mitzvah, when the chasana is a talmud chacham. That's what the Gemara says. So that's Rav Moshe Shtermach's brilliant idea. The problem is, it's a little bit hard to swallow as well, because it's clear in the Peskin, the Chavis Yar, and the Mishnah Berurah quotes this also, that even if a person is not a Talmud Chacham, you're not going to say that every single wedding we go to is not a Sudas Mitzvah. Says the Chavis Yair and says the Mishnah Berurah that as long as we say Divrei Torah, as long as we sing Shiras with Tishbachos LaKadosh Baruch Hu, as long as we make it into some sort of a bruchnistika experience, we make it into something that's going to elevate us. So obviously, that does constitute a sudas mitzvah. We're not going to cross off and write off every single wedding and say this is not a sudas mitzvah and it doesn't count. So if you believe that nowadays our weddings are, I would like to believe that our weddings are sudas mitzvahs, how can we say they're not? We all like to believe that we were involved in a sudas mitzvah. So then Rav Moshe Shturmov's answer might not follow through. So it's what to think about. Exactly why are we mechalek? Why do we assume that only by a bris we have the minig not to invite, but by a wedding we are not so careful about this minig? Maybe tomorrow night we'll continue with some other of the minhage hachasim. Sure.